Had an interesting week. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of traveling around the country with Prince of Wales on the Royal Train, visiting communities up and down the land, looking at sustainability. What does it mean to real people in real places? And the thing that we saw over and over again is just how proud people are of where they're from and what they're doing and being given the chance to share that a little bit. Exciting stuff. Some big and powerful ideas and some pretty simple and basic things that people just got on and did. Interesting stuff indeed, and come back to that in a moment. Now you've heard some, I think, quite compelling cases this morning. The bishop talking about the moral and the human case for what we're talking about. You and a very compelling business case, why it makes sense to a business model. Ellen sharing with us a sense of urgency, a new way of communicating, perhaps even a new economic model. So my question is, why is it more happening then with all of that? Why is it just us talking about this? To a certain extent, preaching to the choir in this room. And what do we need to do differently, perhaps, to really change behavior a little bit? Now, we have an awful lot of business leaders in the room. I spend my working life working with business leaders. And it feels like every time I pick up a newspaper or a magazine, it's talking about corporate sinners and all the things that businesses do wrong and the misbehavior that goes on. Well, I don't know what your experience is, but I can tell you mine. Most people I know, in fact, I can't think of an example that doesn't fit into this case. Business people get up in the morning dedicated to their business, not their bonus. The people I know are driven by their people, not their ego, and are committed to serve, not to steal. So why not? Why isn't this happening? Well, it's hard, and it's complicated, and it's easy to put off, isn't it? Now we are, and it's the point's been made this morning, we're living in challenging times. The economy is a mess. We thought it was getting better. Perhaps it's a double dip. What's going to happen? We've got a new government bringing in, unfortunately for them, the coalition government, having to live through this age of austerity. And what does that mean to all of us? The notion of trust has changed. People don't trust government. They don't trust business. They don't even trust the church anymore, do they? And so what do we do in that kind of context to turn this around? And it isn't just the economic issues that we're up against. As Ilma was talking about this morning, what stakeholders, our customers, the people, our neighbors, our children are expecting from us is changing. It's a whole new social dynamic out there, and they're expecting different things. Our license to operate, whatever it is we do, whoever it is we represent, it's evolving. And how are we going to come to grips with that? And how do we change our own behavior, and how do we change the behavior of others, perhaps, to make that difference? The other thing that is so true, and you've seen it from the beautiful film that Ellen just showed, the pace of change in which we are living is like never before. Social media completely transforms, I don't even know what that is, completely transforms the way people communicate with each other. A 7x24 digital world where every little bit of bad news or gossip is spread all over the world, true or false. It goes around quickly. And it also changes, doesn't it? What is the world of work? What is work going to look like? What is a job? What is a career? What are the skills, coming back to the subject matter of today, what are the skills that we're going to need in our own lives, in our children's, in the people that work with us? What are the skills they're going to need to survive in this thing? Will we go to offices? Will we have work? Will we all be independent contractors? How do we even measure success in all of that? Change indeed happening out there. Now, the coalition government has brought in a new idea, perhaps an old idea, perhaps just a slogan, don't know yet, the big society. What is the big society? Well, I think it can be much more than a slogan. I think it can be this notion that we each, as human beings, have a responsibility. The people in this room happen to be leaders as well, and that probably gives you even more responsibility. But the idea that each of us has a role to play, that we don't have the privilege of outsourcing our conscience just because we've paid our taxes or we've done something else, it's not my problem. We have an individual and personal responsibility. And so what are we going to do about that, and how are we going to make something happen there? And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. We're talking about the state of the economy, but let's think about the state of our people in this country. Did you know that 1 in 6 young people leave this country, leave education in this country every year unable to read? That over half of the adult population doesn't have skills over level 2, don't have the skills that we know they're going to need to survive in the new low-carbon economy, whatever that is going to be. That more children live in workless households in the UK than anywhere else in Europe, including Romania and Estonia. Well, how can that be? Because principles that are so fundamental to me, this notion that work is good for you, seems to have gotten lost somehow. Now, as Graham said, I've spent most of my working life running global companies, and I will confess, not only will I confess I was a lawyer, that doesn't always go over very well, but I used to run chemical companies as well, so I'm really a sort of poacher turned gamekeeper here. But I shared the lonely seats that you sat in trying to bring these agendas to life, to challenge your own colleagues who are facing real short-term but real pressures to do certain things. I understand that chief executives don't stay in their jobs very long anymore. You may only have a couple of years to do whatever it is you're trying to do, and so you better get on with it. And sometimes your shareholders aren't that interested in your 40-year plan. They're more interested in your 40-day plan. And that creates a different kind of dynamic, doesn't it? But I also know that business has an incredibly important role to play in all of this, that humanity shares a common fate on a crowded planet. We are all in this together. And as B&Q and so many other companies in this room have shown, you can create value for your shareholders while living your values. It's not only something you can do, it's something you should do, and it's a great opportunity to do just that. So we've been thinking a little bit about, well, what do we do with all of that? How do we take all of that forward? Another point that was made a little bit earlier was this notion of the demand for growth. How do we measure success? When I was chief executive, the only thing my shareholders seemed to be interested in was earnings per share growth. And how was that measured? On the share price and on the volume. And everybody looked at our sales line. Didn't quite think past what was going to happen next year, the year beyond that, through cycles. So it's a change in culture, but I do know that business leaders of all shapes and sizes are faced with this growth dilemma. You know instinctively that it isn't sustainable. Just doing more of what you're doing today doesn't work. In fact, in a low inflation environment, which we are in and hopefully will continue to be in, 10% compounded growth can't work, and somebody's going to fail. So what do we do to rethink all of that and rethink that model a little bit? Now, business in the community, a lot of familiar faces in the room, so you'll be happy to know I won't go through the long story. We're about mobilizing business for good, a movement of businesses, business-led, values-driven, trying to make a difference out there. What are the practical tools and ideas and things that we can do as we look at the big issues around people and planet and trying to create a more sustainable future? How do we not think about philanthropy so much, nothing wrong with philanthropy, but really think differently about how we run our businesses, how we make our money, how we create the long-term futures for our wider stakeholders, how we engage with the community in ways that matter and resonate with your people and your customers? How do you treat the people that work with you to create the inclusive and the healthy workplaces that you need to have? How do you treat the planet? And how do you think about your supply chain through all of this? Your global supply chain, by the way. There isn't a person in this room who isn't part of a global supply chain. So how do we bring that all together? We had, and we've got some people in the room who are involved in it. We did a piece of research recently. Vincent de Rives, the chief executive of EDF Energy, led this for us, but a number of organizations were involved in thinking about what are the skills that are needed for a sustainable future. So we're talking about how important all of this is. What do we do about it? Where do we go from there? We had 700 different organizations, private and public sector companies, respond to this, thinking about it, sharing with us ideas, opportunities, priorities, and some very interesting things have come out of that. We looked at the skills that are needed throughout an organization, at your board. What do you do about the old gray-haired folk at the top who grew up at a different time, who maybe don't quite see the sustainability agenda in the same way? What about middle management, that permafrost layer that can so stifle new ideas that come through? What about the people that are customer-facing out there that really are on the sharp end of all of that? And what about your workers who are maybe in the back room? How do we think about what we need to do to upskill them and to train them a little bit? Now, a number of interesting things came out of that study. First of all, probably obvious, really quite compelling, everybody agrees that we need to do something, and we need to do more, and we need to do it faster. Secondly, they all said, we're doing quite a bit, but not enough, but I don't think anybody else is doing much of anything. So an acknowledgement that we really aren't making much progress on all of this stuff. They recognized that we can do more, but the challenges that kept coming back over and over again were things like, can't quite come to grips with this vision for what a sustainable future really looks like. Ewan talked about perhaps retailers won't sell things in their stores anymore. That's a big thought. Well, how do we get from here to there, and how might we do that? The other thing that came through time and again is that we talk about the value creation and the cost savings of being a more sustainable business. And some of it we get, turn the lights off, certain kinds of energy-saving light bulbs maybe, but most people are struggling with turning that into real value creation, to persuade your finance committee that this is the right financial thing to do, not just the right human thing to do. Aren't quite getting there with that. And then there's the practical problem that we've heard about this morning as well. How do you ground this in real stuff, real practical things? You're not trying to cure cancer today. You're trying to do something that is an incremental step that really makes a difference. We also, through this process, talked to chief executives, and they have a slightly different take on the problem, as you might expect. Again, they all said this is a critically important point, but they also all agreed that not enough was being done. And when you say, so why not? What are the obstacles that you're facing? Part of it is the complexity of turning this into a practical medium-term strategy. For sure, it is all of that. Secondly, and this is really more important for many of them, the conflicting priorities. That's a great idea. We're going to get to that, but I've got to get through this quarter. I've got to get through this recession. I've just lost a big government contract because of their cutbacks, and I've got to take 15% of my workforce out. I'm going to get to that later. And the third thing that we heard consistently from all of the chief executives is, my financial markets, my shareholders, or at least the analysts and the people that came to me and the financial journalists, they don't care about this. They're interested in my profit. They don't really want to know about this stuff. Well, I'm not sure that's completely true, but that is certainly a pressure that they all feel. So the other thing that has come through this is the messaging through from them to us, not just to business and the community, but this wider movement of businesses interested in this. What do we need to do then? What does business and what can business do to make that difference in all of this? And it was a combination of things. It was, in part, to think about the skills that people need throughout their organization. How do they train their people, like they train them in so many other things, how do they train them to understand the opportunity that is here, the value creating, the benefit, and the opportunity? What do they need to do differently about that? How do we change our customers' behavior and attitude? Come back to start in a minute. The festival that's going on in the gardens just behind us, and it looks like it's a nice day out there, so that's good. A lot of people out there today. How do we change attitudes and thinking with your customers so they want you? We have market pull instead of pushing this big boulder up a hill all the time, which is completely exhausting. How do we all join up and work with the financial markets to help create a different kind of financial model? Why isn't venture capital focused on sustainability? We all agree there's a huge financial prize. The people that get there first are going to get very, very rich, and I celebrate them. The next Googles will all be around this kind of thing. So why aren't the financial markets more focused on all of that? And how do we make this journey simpler for people? And that's one of the things that we've been trying to do through all of this. And so as part of the skills initiative, we've been saying, how do we equip people with the communication tools, with the ideas, with the information? And what are the practical things we could do today? So we stop pontificating about big thoughts and grand rooms, but we do real things on the ground. And one of the ideas that has come forward, which we love, is let's share ideas. Every one of you has got things that you're doing in your business that aren't price sensitive to your operation, but are things that you've learned to engage. Tricks you've tried, products you've developed, training modules that you've created for your organization. Rather than reinventing all this stuff, why don't we share it? Secondly, why don't we collaborate a little bit differently? Why don't we join forces and thinking about the new tools and ideas and things that we need to take this forward? Why keep reinventing the wheel on our own all the time? Deeply inefficient. So the notion of collaborating, of getting like-minded people together like today, of sharing ideas, of filling easels with why can't we do this, why not, and keeping all that going. Very powerful stuff indeed, and we want to do exactly that. We've got some wonderful examples of what's going on already. We've got EDF Energy has something they call Sustainable Steps, which is an internal e-learning tool that helps people come to grips with that, teases out ideas, challenges them a little bit. Lloyds Bank, and I know they're represented here as well, an interesting bespoke training module for their managers to really get them thinking differently about this. WSP, Stuart McLaughlin is here. Personal carbon trading program. Stuart, I think I've gotten that right. So I know what my impact is today, tomorrow, the impact I have as a human, as I have as a member of this organization and beyond. So it really brings that idea to life. IBM, your supply chain work. All kinds of great ideas. Why are we sharing these? Why doesn't everybody in this room know what those things are? A couple of final thoughts, and then we'll go to lunch. We're all about bringing people together. And that's what gets us excited at business in the community. That's what gets us up in the morning. We've got a movement called May Day. Many of you are part of that. 3,000 organizations, large and small, around the land, focused on climate change, more of a business-to-business focusing thing. How do you measure and manage, report in a transparent way to your stakeholders, make a difference, create a business case through there, and how do we share all that learning? Free to join. It's all on the website. And look at that. But we also have the START campaign, which you've heard about today. And START is really the consumer-facing side of May Day. How do we create a language that's fun and interesting and exciting? None of this, stop doing that, don't eat chocolate, you know, cut back all the time. How do we create something that's fun and interesting and aspirational? Creating a new and exciting kind of lifestyle. And so hopefully you'll have a chance to wander through the gardens today. Hopefully you'll get some ideas, maybe a bit of excitement. And hopefully we can spread this message out there to the average person on the street that their behavior matters. Because isn't that the obstacle? Don't so many of us say, well, what I do doesn't matter anyway. I'll ride Boris's new bike to work, but what does it matter? Will it change anything? And until we all agree and believe that our behavior changes things, nothing's going to change, and we know that. We've been spending time with the Marketing Society people and our own businesses and the marketeers within those businesses thinking about how do we make sustainability cool? How do we make it fun and interesting? In a language that people get, how do we create a model, and we saw it in Ellen's thing, that isn't just about using less stuff, but is enjoying life more? How do we create that end place that we can get to? Stuart McLaughlin, that I mentioned, is leading for us with a large group of businesses, as is Ian Cheshire of B&Q and Kingfisher fame, to think about what is the bigger vision of a sustainable society? Where do we think we might get to 40 years from now, in 2050? So not just thinking about cutting and trimming and changing and doing a little bit different now, but what are those fundamental changes that are coming, and how might we approach that? And how do we do that, not with a big volume of statistics and boring old facts or trying to frighten people, but by creating a vision, an image, something that anybody can wander by and look at that is inspirational, aspirational, but most importantly of all, I suppose, transformational. What do we do that really will make things different and interesting and exciting? And how can we do that as business leaders? Because believe me, we have a very big vested interest in doing just that. We're also spending time, so many of the businesses in this room, thinking and working with young people. Because at the end of the day, they're the people that get it. The bishop has talked about the passion and enthusiasm that young people have from all sectors of society. And it's true around the world. But how do we give them the skills and the knowledge? And how do we invite them into this work world? So we've been spending time thinking about how we take work experience. You'll all remember that. How boring was that, standing over a copy machine or something? And how do we turn that into work inspiration? How do we help people understand that being part of the world of work is an exciting and healthy thing to do, and you can change the world? Businesses aren't bad. They're vehicles for good if we do it right. The other program that we're working on, and again, it works around schools, is something we're calling business class. Paul Dreschler, the boss of Waitz, is leading on this work for us, and it's really thinking about how can we structure a meaningful, sustainable, hate to use that word too much, partnership between business and school on a very local basis that creates value for everybody. How can we help schools in terms of what they need to do? How can we understand what their needs are and how we as business leaders might be able to help? How do we take our own staffs and put them in as volunteers and support? This isn't about giving lots of money. There isn't a lot of money to give today. It's really about giving something that's much more important: our time, our energy, our enthusiasms, our passions. And we know perfectly well that when we do that, it's fun and people like it, and your staffs will enjoy it and respond positively to it. So I come back through all of this and say, why isn't it happening? Are these problems just too big, too complicated, too expensive, can't tackle it this quarter, I'm retiring in 6 months anyway, or I'll probably get fired, or something else will happen, so I'm going to pass that on to somebody else? Well, I think you know the answer to that. We're in charge now, like it or not. It's up to us to tackle these things. There are practical ideas out there that work. So it's all about creating those employee staff engagement ideas that work. So what are we challenging you on today? Be a May Day company. Turn work experience into work inspiration. Become part of business class. Work with a school in a way that is measurable and manageable and really makes a difference in people's lives. And as we think about this skills crisis or skills opportunity that we have, join us in this movement. Become part of the group that is working on this. Help us share the resources and the ideas that you already have, and help us shape the ideas that are coming. It's a big idea, but it's a simple idea. This isn't rocket science that we're talking about. The ideas are there. We've just got to get them out of this room and into that garden where people are coming through and into your staffs. Do you know in the May Day network, we've got 3,000 companies. They employ about 8 million people in this country. Now you think about their families. I don't know how many are married, how many have children. That group is probably covering almost half of the UK population. So we've got the tools, the vehicles, the channels to get these ideas out there. Let's get on and do it. We can say this is somebody else's problem, but we know it's ours. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to lose your enthusiasm and optimism on this. But if we don't do it now, nobody else will. So thank you for your engagement in this conversation. We love the ideas, and we're going to make sure that lots of other businesses and other organizations hear about them. Stay as part of this movement. It's a journey. It's not a destination. Thanks very much.